Hi, readers. Welcome to Books Connect Us from Penguin Random House. This is a podcast about staying connected with each other and the stories and authors who inspire us. Lindsay Daly is a middle school social studies teacher and the author of Would You Rather, which is a book that allows children to confront philosophical questions such as, would you rather kiss a fish swimming in a radioactive pond or roll down a hill hugging a porcupine? On today's very special episode, our producer Pat Stango talks to Lindsay about how she created the book, and together they play through some of the most intriguing Would You Rather scenarios. This one gets very weird. Enjoy.
Hello, everybody. I'm Pat Stango, the director of video at Penguin Random House, and today we're joined by Lindsay Daly, the author of Would You Rather. Lindsay, thanks so much for coming on to Books Connect Us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Lindsay, you're a middle school teacher in New Jersey. How is that going exactly, being a teacher in a pandemic?
So it's definitely been a crazy time. You know, people become teachers to be with the kids. And so when you take out that element, it obviously brings a lot of new challenges to the job. But I've been teaching middle school now. I just completed my 7th year teaching 6th, 7th, and 8th grade social studies. So, I mean, I absolutely love my job and I love being with the kids. So it definitely was hard to say goodbye to them in March and not end up getting to complete this year with them, especially our 8th graders who were graduating. So it's definitely been tough, but I think teachers are so adaptable, like, and flexible that it was almost seamless, at least in my school, the way that we just went right into distance learning and we made it work. It wasn't ideal, but we did the best that we could and try to keep in touch with our kids as much as possible. And so it hasn't been great. And now we're talking about trying to reopen, which a lot of teachers have a lot of anxiety about just because of how complicated that's going to be in the middle of a pandemic. But as I said, I mean, teachers always rise to the occasion. And we're used to things changing all the time and being flexible. So I'm confident that, you know, we'll be able to do whatever's best for the kids.
So the book you wrote is called Would You Rather. So could you tell us about it? And, you know, would you classify this as sort of a game book?
Yeah. So it's a game. It's meant to be played as a game, but people can use the questions however they want. Really. So something that we do at my school, we have this time of day called class meeting. It's like homeroom, but it's more focused on like social emotional learning. And we do like fun bonding activities and sometimes we play games. And so in my class over the years, we started doing these like open-ended questions and then every kid has a chance to answer them. And it just turns into a really fun conversation and the kids get to know each other better, you know, through these answers that they give. And so when I was writing the book, I was kind of just imagining I was in my classroom with my kids, like, what are some questions that we might have fun answering? So it can be played as a game. It is meant to be played as a game in this book where you play with a group and then, so for each answer, there's a judge and they pick whose answer was the funniest or the most logical, kind of like how you play Cards Against Humanity, but this is like kid friendly and that is not. Technically, like, there would be somebody who earns the most points and then they kind of win the book, but obviously you can use it really however you want.
All right, so Lindsay, be honest. How many of the scenarios in your book were overheard in the class and you just, like, took them and put them right in the book?
Now, if we were in school, I'm sure I would have done that. But I actually, this all happened in quarantine. So I missed out on that opportunity. But next time. I mean, just from spending so much time with them, you know, every single day, pretty much of my life now, my adult life. I know that kids have so many, well, first of all, kids are hilarious. Like, middle schoolers are so funny. And that's, as someone who loves humor, that's like one of the reasons I love middle school so much, is because they really are funny. And so I wanted a bunch of different questions so that all different types of kids who have different interests could find some that they answer really well or really funny or in a way that's really logical. So while there are some that are funnier, there are other questions that are more just like logic based, because kids are all so different and they're also smart in their own ways, because there are so many ways to be smart. And so, you know, there are questions more that are like science-y or more like math related, ones that are just silly or gross. And so I tried to just put so many different types of questions in there that like every kid could see a question and be like, oh yeah, this is my question. Like, I'm going to crush this one.
Aside from being a teacher, being an author of this book, you're also a comedy writer. I've read a few of your articles, really cool stuff. Can you talk about your background in comedy writing and, you know, how that led to this book?
Yeah, so I just love writing and I love making people laugh. Those are like two of my favorite things to do. And so I started writing articles back in like 2014 when a friend approached me and said, hey, I've been reading some of your tweets and your statuses on Facebook. I think that there's something there. You should like try to write actual articles. So I gave it a shot because, you know, what else was I doing? And people responded really well and they liked them. So I just kind of kept it up. But it's more like observational comedy, just kind of like things that people read and they're like, oh my God, that's like so true. And so that's just kind of been a hobby of mine. And I mean, I kept at it for 6 years and then, you know, it finally kind of culminated in this opportunity to write a book. So I think it shows you can't give up on things like that. You have to keep putting yourself out there and then finally, you know, something's going to catch on.
So then how did it catch on? You have the hobby as a sort of a comedy writer, essayist online. You obviously have your job as a middle school teacher. And then how did that lead towards the Would You Rather book?
So in 2019, like early 2019, basically, from all the years of sharing my articles and having people respond positively, it really like gave me the confidence to continue to kind of put myself out there online. And so I decided to make an Instagram page that would be for teachers just to kind of vent and laugh. I mean, because if you don't have a sense of humor, I don't know how you survive being a teacher. As many wonderful things that come with being a teacher that there are so many frustrations. And teachers, for whatever reason, have kind of been almost like a punching bag for some people. And I'll never get why. But So I just started making these like silly memes about teaching. And I made this account and I started posting them. And over time, that caught on. I have a pretty decent following now. I have almost 50,000 followers. And so through that, Penguin Random House, they came up with this idea for this book based on data they had collected of like what people might want to read, what people might want for their kids. And so they were kind of searching for an author for this book. So through the Instagram account, you know, they found me and messaged me like, hey, we want to write this book. We think you might be good. We think you might be the person to write it. Can we give you a call? And I'm like, yes, I'm free right now. Call me. So, after a few conversations, they decided that I was the person for the job, and then I just started writing the book. It happened really fast, but it definitely, you know, I think that A lot of people think when you put yourself out there online, if it's not like a viral hit immediately, that you're not successful, that it's not going to happen for you. And that's really not the case. You have to kind of build your work and keep it out there and keep up with it. And then eventually, you know, something good might come of it.
Yeah, and it almost shows like sometimes it's, you know, on one hand, you could be someone who's got a viral hit, millions of fans, but then other times it just takes the specific right person to be a fan and it could lead to something else.
Yeah. So, I was so excited that they, you know, liked my sense of humor enough to give me this opportunity, you know, to get my foot in the door and write this book.
Nice. Well, Lindsay, so we are not exactly the target audience for this book. We're not children, but I think looking through this, I feel like this, you know, we said it's a kid's version of Cards Against Humanity. I also do feel like this is fun for anyone to read through and play as a group. So how about you and I do some of these Would You Rathers ourselves? We could go through some examples and then give our own opinion on what we'd rather.
I would love to.
Cool. Well, as you said, you're a teacher. You do your homework. So you've prepared a few that we could go through. And then I have a few that we could go through after that.
Okay. So I picked out a few that are, you know, maybe more mature.
All right. Let's go. This goes through the secret mature chapter.
Well, you know, everything that you make for kids, you have to remember that adults are usually facilitating somehow. So, like, you know how mm-hmm. in Disney movies they have, like, jokes that are so targeted at the parents sitting in the crowd watching?
Yes. Yeah, it'll be, like, a joke that parodies some, like, 70s movie yeah. that a kid couldn't possibly care about. It's like Shrek is doing the Are You Talking to Me scene from Taxi Driver. It's like, all right, obviously the kid just thinks his voice is funny.
Yeah.
That's for the parents.
Or kids are quoting it and they're like, yeah, it's from Shrek.
Exactly. It's the character of Travis Bickle from Shrek.
All right. So here, let's do this one. Would you rather spend a day riding through the forest on a unicorn or spend a day hanging out with Bigfoot?
I'm gonna say hanging out with Bigfoot, because the implication of, like, using the phrasing hanging out makes me think that he's gonna be nice. Because, like, if it was just would you rather spend a day with a unicorn or with Bigfoot, then I would say unicorn, because I would assume Bigfoot's gonna rip me in half. But, like, if you're already telling me we're just hanging out, then I think it'll be okay.
I mean, there is a possibility he could be a jerk. I don't.
Right.
But I think Bigfoot's just
right.
like
hanging out for him could be pretty. Yeah, it could mean something totally different.
I think he's just like misunderstood. Like, I'm trying to hang out with him and then write like a tell-all, you know, like mm-hmm. my time with Bigfoot.
Oh, so you're a real author. You're already thinking of the next book deal. I've got my memoir about me and Bigfoot. Yeah, and also I feel like we might be in the same demo here, where when I think Bigfoot, I think Harry and the Hendersons. So I think I would, you know, that he's someone I'd want to get to know.
Yeah, like I want to know what his deal is, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you want that sweet book advance.
I mean, a unicorn, I mean, that would make for like some high quality social media content, but Bigfoot to me is more interesting.
Yeah, I feel like the unicorn, you would get like, you'd have a GoPro helmet on and you'd get like a really cool video that would get a ton of hits, but it probably wouldn't lead to anything that you could monetize the way like the Bigfoot tell.
And that's
would.
What it's all about.
Yeah,
monetize.
All right, so we're so we're both in agreement. We want to hang out with Bigfoot.
Yes. All right. Would you rather walk a mile on a slippery sheet of ice or through thick mud?
Oh, man. Those are both. Yeah, this is a true kids would you rather, because I feel like whenever we played this as a kid, it was always two horrible possibilities. Like when kids were presented, it would be like, would you rather I punch you in the shoulder or like kick you in the shin?
I mean, I do have many of those as well, that both options are like equally horrifying.
So walking on ice or walking through the mud, I'm a neat freak, so I would go with the ice. Even though the ice, like falling, would hurt more, I think I would just be grossed out by getting so much mud on me.
Yeah. No, I feel that.
What about you?
I just think about like the physical shape that I'm in, and trekking through mud is exhausting.
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know that my legs could deal with that. So, like, mm-hmm. on ice, you'd obviously have to be careful and, like, go slow. But I also, like, spent my whole childhood, like, roller skating and falling. So,
right.
I'm pretty accustomed to that at this point. So, I think the mud just, you know, that would really do me in.
Yeah, I think, and on ice, too, I think at some point I would just, like, be on my butt and I would slide the whole way.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Like, I wouldn't even try and stand up. I would just like just lay down, slide, and just take my time.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. So ice is a good, you know, lazy persons. We haven't exercised much during quarantine. We could travel on our butt.
I don't love the colds, but I do think it'd be more doable for me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Would you rather have your laugh replaced by the sound of an air horn or a wailing siren? So every time you laugh, that's the noise that comes out.
Wait, so a wailing siren, okay, is like a, I got you, like an ambient siren.
And then the air horn, you know, that noise that's now in the back of like every rap song for some random reason.
I think air horn just makes more sense for laughing, because it's like you hear air horns at sporting events, you know, or like when like a crowd will try and like make extra noise. So that kind of seems like the same context of laughing, where like an ambulance siren when you laugh is just so, to me, that's so out of context in that situation.
I think either one would make people not want to be around you.
Yeah. Yeah, you would get kicked out of if comedy shows still existed, you would get kicked out of a comedy club pretty quick with either of those. And you'd just be like, but I love it. I'm enjoying the show so much. You're so good.
But then, like, no one can hear the jokes.
Right. I'm just scrolling through your manuscript, and I just found one of them that is one of those real torture scenario ones.
Okay.
You have, would you rather run 10 miles with an ingrown toenail or walk barefoot for 20 miles on gravel roads?
Oh, gosh.
So there's some real, like, Saw movie scenarios in here.
Yeah. You know, I think kids like those questions better for some reason.
Yeah. Oh, I could definitely see, like, when I was a 10-year-old, I would love saying that one and just be like, oh, those are so disgusting. And then, because it's also one of those where no matter what the kid picks, the other kids in the group would be like, oh, you're messed up.
Yeah. And then trying to, like, explain your way out of everyone just thinking you're messed up.
Yes, because it's like no matter what you pick, no matter how bad the other one is, the kids would be like, you want to have an ingrown toenail? It's like, no, that's the whole point of this game, Phil.
Like, I don't want either, but I have no choice.
And then it's like, no, you love it.
Well, yeah, and there are a lot of ones with, like, eating gross stuff. That's where, like, I can't even think about those for too long. Like, because that's so disgusting to me. But
yeah, so when you're coming up with some of these and you know, okay, for this batch I have to go to that place, where I'm coming up with two different either gross or physically painful scenarios. Where do you find the inspiration for those?
God. I just try to think of things like kids might have fun with. See, I'm so not like a bathroom humor kind of person. Like, I don't like gross stuff. I don't like any of it. So those were harder for me to come up with. So I just had to kind of like channel certain kids I know and be like, okay, what would they come up with or what would they find funny? And so I just had to kind of think of it that way. But I just literally, like, my process in writing this book, I just sat at my kitchen table and, like, stared into space and was like, just come up with random weird things. And then
that's
how it happened, just in the depths of my brain.
Yeah, that sounds like, yeah, you really came up with one of the most fun formats I could imagine writing, which is just that, like, let me come up with the most bizarre scenarios I possibly could.
Yes, it was fun. It was a fun process.
Here's one that we could each answer that I'm looking at. Would you rather kiss a fish that's been living in a radioactive pond or roll down a hill hugging a porcupine? So why don't you answer that one first?
Oh my gosh. God, see, it's like, I should be able to answer my own questions, right?
This is all from deep in your psyche. So
I know. I feel like I should probably see a therapist. Yeah. And she'll be like, the porcupine represents your grandfather or something. Okay, so this is my thought on it. I would, while it is the more painful option, I would roll down the hill with the porcupine because the radioactive part, I feel like that could potentially have long-term health effects on my life.
Yep.
And so while like the porcupine thing would definitely hurt and probably like, you know, I would have some bruises or potentially other injuries.
Right. They'd be pulling, pulling porcupine spikes out of you for a couple of
weeks.
Which
isn't pleasant, but at least, like, when it's over, it's over. Whereas, like, if I kissed the fish that was, like, radioactive, then the rest of my life I'd be like, okay, what day am I going to wake up with, like, a giant lump?
Right.
You know, so right.
When do you grow that second head? Yeah.
So I think that the fear of that one... I would take the, like, immediate pain that I could then be done with when it's over the long-term effects of, like, waiting for something bad to happen to me. Does that make sense?
No, that was my first thought, too. The one thing that might make me lean towards kissing the radioactive fish is the benefit could, I mean, the side effect could be good.
Oh, okay.
Possibly. You know, if you think of it in the context of, like, most superhero origin stories, you know, it could be that you grow that, like, second head, but it also could be that you start flying.
Yes.
So it's more of that one's, like, really a glass half empty or half full.
Yeah.
Type of situation. That's like really like an optimism test.
Yeah. Like, who's willing to take that risk because they believe it could be positive.
Right. And, which is why you still see stories of people jumping into radioactive ponds. It's because they're optimists.
Is optimist the word? I don't know. That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah. But no, I for the most part, I agree. I think the porcupine is just like, get it over with. You know, you'll be in pain for a couple of weeks and then you could just forget it ever happened.
Yeah, you know, like, continue on with your life.
Yeah, these are so fun. I definitely see this. Like, obviously it is geared towards kids, but I also could imagine playing this with my middle-aged friends as well.
I love to hear
someday
it.
Someday when we're allowed to be in the same room.
Yeah.
Or it's a good, this is, I guess nowadays, for, you know, everything has to also be thought of in terms of, can it work over Zoom?
Yeah.
And this is definitely a fun, you know, virtual.
It's Zoom friendly. I think
it's Zoom friendly.
I really think, and not just because I wrote it, obviously I'm biased, but I mean, in quarantine, I'm sure parents are like really trying to figure out something to do with their kids. And they've probably now at this point, you know, talked about everything they could possibly talk about with them. So it's kind of like a book of, hey, here's 168 topics of conversation you could have with your kids at the dinner table, in the car. It works for teachers because we're always looking for like writing prompts and things to do with the kids that they might find fun. So I do think like, obviously, you know, none of us want to be in this position with COVID and everything, but this could be something in quarantine that, you know, families could have fun doing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, this is, it's definitely a great way to fill the time, but also for everyone to be creative while they do it.
Yeah, and that's a big goal of the book. It's like, I just want kids, I mean, now with all the technology, and I know I sound like, you know, an old person, like shaking my fist like, that damn technology, but they don't have to think as much. Like when we were kids, remember we had to like make up games to play, otherwise we were just bored. Kids don't really know how to be bored anymore. Like they don't, they just like, you know, they're on Instagram, they're on TikTok, or they're playing Fortnite or other games that tell them like, hey, these are the rules of the games and this is how you do it. And whereas like when we were young, we had great imaginations because like I just had two Barbie dolls and had to make up a whole story between them. Yep. Which was usually based on the soap operas my mom was watching, but that's neither here nor there. So it's just like, I just want them to think. I want them to take a minute to be and not be like, well, I don't know. Like, I want them to really think about it. And you can go on a whole tangent on some of these, like the way you went. I mean, you just turned the fish question into like potentially turning into a superhero. Like that's
Well, I'm a very smart child.
I can tell. You're a smart boy. But you know, like that's what I want. I want kids to be like, I can take this and really think about it and be creative and funny. And I don't want kids to lose their imagination because of just the way the world kind of has gone in terms of what kids do for fun, if that makes sense.
Right. No, that makes total sense. Why don't we do Let's do one more scenario together.
Okay. Would you rather have a photographic memory or psychic abilities?
Oh, man. God. They both sound cool, but also, like, scary in different ways. Like, I don't know if I want a photographic memory of everything.
Yeah, I know, right? Something you're trying to forget.
Yeah, I guess psychic abilities, even though that could be the most terrifying thing.
Yeah.
God, do I want to see 4 months from now? But I think the curiosity of the psychic abilities is hard to pass up, even if you're looking ahead and it's terrifying. So I'd go psychic abilities.
Nice choice.
What about you?
Gosh. See, it's hard because see, when I think about having psychic abilities, I'm more so, I kind of like the idea of maybe like helping people like through them.
That's a good idea.
Like for instance, like you know how those psychic mediums, which if you believe in them or not, like some of them are pretty convincing and the things they tell people really like heal them and make them feel better. Mm. So like I like that idea of being able to help people, but then it's like, you know, what's the point of life if you know what's gonna happen? I like, that's scary to me because then like that changes your life forever, right? To know the future.
You'd have to be very diligent about using it in a certain way where it's like, all right, I'm only gonna use this to you know, to solve mysteries with other people, I'm not going to look ahead to see how I die.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the big one, is you really have to just force yourself to not look that, you know, at that.
But imagine the temptation.
You would do it. You would do it 10 minutes in.
And
you would maybe solve one mystery, and then you would immediately be like, all right, show me how I die.
And then, I mean, like, also, I could see, like, what the winning lottery numbers are. I mean, how am I not going to do that?
Yeah, yeah.
So that one's tough. Yeah,
exactly.
And then, I mean,
that
having
one, yeah, that one.
A photographic memory would be helpful for me as a teacher, because I, like, teaching content to middle school, I do have to do a lot of studying and, like, reading up on things, because obviously I don't just naturally know everything that's occurred in the history of the world, which my students do expect me to know, which is always funny. They ask me questions. I'm like, I don't know. I wasn't there. So it does take a lot of reading and like studying. So actually that could probably really help me.
I wonder, I feel like from a kid's point of view, I think they would all go with psychic. Because I think a kid would be like, yeah, the photographic memory would help me on a test, but, you know, let's be honest, that's not my number one priority.
Yes.
And then also in terms of, like, memory, kids would be like, I barely have any history in my life. I don't need to remember. Like, if you're a 10-year-old kid now, your whole history is probably already documented on a phone
anyway.
That
is so true.
So, like, for us, we would be like, oh, yeah, I want to remember this incident with a friend or something, but a kid would be like, yeah, it's on TikTok.
When they want to remember something, they just scroll a couple years back on their Instagram.
Right, right. Yeah, Instagram is a child's photographic memory. Oh, you know what? Let's do one more if you have one more. God, these are so fun.
I love that you are living for them. Would you rather... Okay, we'll do this one. For a week... be the size of an ant or the size of a giraffe, but you're still you, so you wouldn't turn into an ant, just it would be you ant size,
right? The size of an ant or the size of a giraffe. I mean, I think I would go giraffe, because ant would be so dangerous. Like, I don't think I could survive the week. Like, just think of, I mean, think of how we act towards these poor ants.
I know,
when we see them. And I don't want to be in their position. Whereas, like, I look at a giraffe, and giraffes usually are able to survive a week pretty okay. At least, like, amongst humans. Humans are, like, as far as I know, pretty good to giraffes.
Yes.
The thing about being a giraffe is, if I was a human, if I was a giraffe-sized me, I would definitely have to explain it at some point. Like, I don't think I'd be able to go incognito.
Show up to work with a 10-foot long neck.
The same way if I was an ant and I just, like, stayed in a room. So I would just go giraffe, because the ant thing would be so scary. I wouldn't be able to get through the week.
Okay. That's a good explanation.
Yeah, that's a pure fear-based answer. What would you do?
That's the difference between adults playing and kids playing. Yeah. Everything's based on, like, our fear and anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah, all of our answers are tied into our mortality. And a kid is just like, what would be crazier?
Yeah, it's a darker game as an adult.
Yeah. Yeah, every one we've answered so far is like, which would keep us safer?
Man, I kind of like the idea of being an ant, though, because, like, no one would bother me, because they wouldn't know I was there. And then you could, like, you could listen to conversations when people don't know you're in the room.
That's true.
Which I don't know if that's good or bad.
No, that's good for sure. Yeah, because of a giraffe, the only way you could listen to our conversation is, like, your neck stretching up to, like, a window. And people don't, they're on the third floor and they're like, there's no way anyone could hear me here.
Yeah, but I'm sure they're probably going to notice when your head is appearing.
Right. Right.
I might go and I recently watched Ant-Man, so you know, when they're like driving under the cars, I'm like, oh, that's convenient, you know, skip traffic.
Uh-huh. Yeah, but he's always getting like flicked around.
Yes, I know.
He's always like, someone's always like snapping their finger at him and he goes flying 100 feet.
That is very true. And I wouldn't have that so I would.
Right. Yeah. I think I would go Giraffe Man.
I respect it. I respect it. I think I would choose to be an ant, though.
You would choose
to I would be an just ant? Be, I would make sure I, like, didn't go many places.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, I think I would have to, I would definitely, before the change, make sure I had a real safe zone. Like that there's no way anyone stumbles, you know, walks in and is like in an ant-killing mood. Well, this was awesome. I am very excited about this book. I think it's great for kids, and it will be great for me and all my old college friends next time we have a Zoom hangout.
I love it. Can you invite me to that?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, let's do this. This is fun. Let's get some, we'll all get some like wine and Mike's Hard Lemonades and get on Zoom and play Would You Rather.
Oh, yeah, that it would be fun if there was some alcohol involved.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, and congratulations on the book.
Thank you so much.
And I look forward to your eventual Bigfoot memoir that you're working on.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, thanks. And so when and where could parents and, you know, bored middle-aged people find Would You Rather?
So it is officially on sale on August 18th. You can get it through Amazon, and I believe it will also be available in stores like Target, Barnes & Noble, Walmart. So, and hopefully some, you know, mom and pop bookstores too. So the ebook, I believe, is coming out a little bit earlier if you just can't wait, August 4th. So I hope that everyone enjoys the book. It's available for pre-order now, and I'm just excited to see, you know, what happens with it.
Cool. Well, congratulations, and thanks a lot, Lindsay Daly, author of Would You Rather.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a ton of fun.
Thank you for listening to Books Connect Us. For more great book recommendations and information about your favorite authors, feel free to follow Penguin Random House on social media or visit penguinrandomhouse.com. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, go ahead and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, as it helps more listeners to find our show. This podcast is produced by Pat Stango and edited by Clayton Gumbert. I've been Erin Leaf, and until next time, this has been Books Connect Us.